I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
North Carolina voters have approved a constitutional amendment defining marriage solely as a union between a man and a woman.
I congratulate Richard Murdoch on his victory in a hard-fought race.
Back in high school, you know, I did some dumb things, and if anybody was hurt by that or offended by, obviously, I apologize.
What the heck happened this week? We ask that every Friday. And here to talk about it, two voices, familiar voices here on The Takeaway, Ron Christie, Takeaway contributor and Republican political strategist. Ron, welcome back.
Good morning, John.
And Kai Wright, right here in the studio, editor of Color Lines Online Magazine. Kai, welcome back to the
program. Good morning.
So to both of you, obviously the big story is the president's decision to get off the fence, to dismiss this sort of evolving notion about gay marriage and explicitly support gay marriage, although he doesn't call for some constitutional amendment or propose any specific legislation. Ron, is this a principled decision on the president's part, or is he making a political calculation?
No, this is all politics. Good morning, John. I think the president's hand was pushed by his vice president, Joe Biden, when he appeared on Meet the Press last week and said that he supported gay marriage. It caught the White House by surprise, I think. They weren't expecting him to have said that. They didn't realize what the potential fallout of that would be. And, of course, the president was surprised by the constitutional amendment in North Carolina, where in an overwhelming fashion they said that a marriage should be a union between a man and a woman. And I think the president took all of that information and said, you know, I better get off the fence. I better make a decision. I need to come out and say something. And, of course, the rest is history.
And North Carolina, the 30th state now that has a ban on same-sex marriage. Kai Wright, I've also heard scenarios that this was very calculated, that Biden was a trial balloon. What do you think, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I think there's something larger than partisan politics in it, to be honest. I think that the biggest enemy of gay and lesbian people has always been shame and fear that keeps us, not only us, silent, but the people who would be our allies silent about their support for us. And I think while the president announced no policy change, their policy remains the same. They think it's a states' rights issue, and they're not going to support the Defense of Marriage Act. They're not going to defend the Defense of Marriage Act in court. That hasn't changed. But what he did do that I do think is enormously important was stand up and say, okay, listen, I believe that my gay friends' relationships are valid. And I think that coming out as a supporter is of enormous cultural importance. That is just so much bigger than partisan politics.
Ron Christie, do Republicans rally around this issue if they're opposed to gay marriage and attempt to raise money on it, bring out voters to the poll and swing states? Is this a very specific tactic, or is it more a we don't agree and move on kind of approach?
Well, I wouldn't brand the Republican Party as a unitary entity. I think some who are supportive of gay marriage. I think there's some who are supportive of civil unions. And I think there's some, like myself, who believe this is a cultural trap that was set by the Democrats. President Obama doesn't want to talk about his record. He doesn't want to talk about the last 3.5 years he's been in office. He doesn't want to talk about the $5 trillion he's amassed in debt. Instead, they're going to try to pick off wedge issues. And we've seen it before. We've seen it with contraception. We've seen it with Sandra Fluck. We've seen it with a number of other things. Regardless of what the president said about contraception, regardless of what the president said about gay marriage, nothing is going to change between now and November.
But, Ron, I thought you said that Joe Biden accidentally walked them out on it. How did they set the trap by accident on themselves?
I don't believe for a second. I've been involved in politics for 22 years, Kai. I don't believe for a second, having worked in the White House for 4 years, that the Vice President of the United States and subsequent members of the cabinet would walk out and say that they supported gay marriage unless that was a coordinated, absolutely.
Sure. Okay, I agree, but earlier you felt like that this was something that had caught the White House by surprise, and you know, in contraception, I think, and on any number of social issues, I think it's pretty clear who has led the conversation on that. It's been the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party. But you know, again, I think you got to back up, and particularly on this issue, you got to look broader than partisan politics. You really do.
Well, you also have to look really at the question of, is it socially issues that are going to be decisive in the election in November, or is it going to be the economy? Ron, what do you think?
Well, again, I take great offense at Kai's comment of the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party. I could talk about the extreme liberal wing of the Democratic Party or those who seek to ignore the president's record of the sort of I don't even know what you would call them, obfuscation wing of the Democratic Party. Let's focus on the issues. The issues are this country is still hurting. The issues are people are still looking for work. The issues are the housing market is still very soft. So let's focus on the issues that count to all Americans rather than start picking off divisive issues that seek to divide us as citizens rather than bring us together.
All right. I hear you saying, Ron Christie, that the economy is going to be more decisive than social issues. What about bullying? Mitt Romney back in high school has now apologized for bullying an individual. You think that's a story that lasts?
No. Something that allegedly took place 50 years ago, and the alleged victim of this is dead. And now you have people speaking out and saying such and such event took place, but oh, the person who was the victim of this is dead. I think this is a distraction. If Governor Romney, as he said the other day, said, if I participated in any sort of behavior, I apologize for that. But it's 50 years ago. Is that the best the Democrats have to offer?
Yeah, so I to be clear, I'm not here to defend the Democrats or attack the Republicans. But I think on the question for Governor Romney, I agree. This is something that happened a very long time ago, and there are two relevant things in this story. One is, as an adult, has Governor Romney, like all of us, grown and changed in his ability to respect people who don't look, think, and talk like him? And I hope that's the case. The bigger thing in that story to me is how long and how little has changed for kids who are perceived not to fit somebody's idea of what normal sexuality and normal gender presentation is, how long they have been terrorized by this sort of casual bullying that's been going on since 1965. And if you talk to kids today out of high schools, you're hearing the exact same kinds of stories, and that's what's troubling.
Then, Kai Wright, is that an opportunity? I mean, should Mitt Romney, Ron Christie have used this as an opportunity to say bullying was a problem when I was a kid, it's a problem today, and embrace the issue rather than just apologize and try to walk away from it? Ron?
Again, embrace the issue. This is something that took place 50 years ago. We've all done things that are stupid when we were in high school. This is 50 years ago. Again, the media is giving the president a pass. The president in his autobiography said he did marijuana. The president said in his autobiography that he did cocaine. The president said in his autobiography that he ate dog. This wasn't 50 years ago. The president is a very young man. So rather than focus on alleged events with a alleged victim who is dead, why don't we focus on the president's rather promiscuous use of drugs that he admits not only in his book but in his own voice?
Let's get to two quick stories before we go, though. Dick Lugar out of the Senate, and Barack Obama raises $15 million at George Clooney's pad last night. Kai, you go first.
Dick Lugar was my senator. I'm from Indiana, I would have never in my, I can't remember a time when Dick Lugar wasn't part of Indiana politics, and it's a shocking change. I think the Democrats are happy in Indiana. I think they feel like they've got a better competitor, somebody they can beat. But I have to say, just from somebody from Indiana, I'm shocked to see that
Lugar's out. Kai Wright, talking about Richard Lugar, the senator from Indiana. You can make a comment on that, but you're out in California, Ron Christie. I take it you did or did not go to Clooney's house last night for the Obama fundraiser.
Somehow my invitation to the Clooney fundraiser last night got lost in the mail. Look, two things. One, I think Dick Lugar deserved to lose. He's lived in Virginia since 1976. He didn't have a residence in Indiana, and I think the citizens of Indiana said, enough. We don't have a senator that represents us. As it relates to George Clooney, I think the president came out for a victory lap last night. Oh, look what I've done about gay rights. Look what I've done about other divisive issues. But he didn't talk about what he's done for the economy. And while he can parade around in Entertainment Tonight and say, oh, isn't this interesting, look who showed up on the red carpet in front of Clooney's house, I think the reality is most Americans are going to say, despite what the president's done, my daily life, my kids' future hasn't changed.
All right. The Ron Christie Takeaway contributor and Republican political strategist and Kai Wright, the editor of Color Lines magazine. What do you think about what happened at Clooney's last night? If you are, most of the American people weigh in at 877-8-MY-TAKE. And thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
If you want to discuss these stories, you can head over to thetakeaway.org, and we're gearing up for the ultimate Hallmark holiday, Mother's Day. What have you left unsaid?
Joe from Mount Vernon, New York. The last time I was able to talk to my mother before she fell into a coma, she repeatedly told me to stay with my father, and I did until he passed away. So, Mom, I kept my promise.
Messages for Mom at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. Happy Mother's Day. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.